Elliot Friedman joining me now, Matt Marchese on the Jeff Merrick Show. Elliot, I was just waxing poetic about Ryan Lindgren, and we'll get to the rest of the game in a sec, but I felt really good for him to score that goal last night. And like I said, I'm really curious to see what else he's got going on, because that block shot he took last night just keeled him right over. And you're thinking, that's got to be the end for this guy. And he just continues to go out and battle. It's really quite the performance he's had in these playoffs.
You know, Marchese, I'm with you on the Lindgren love. I think in a lot of ways, guys like Dreisaitl and Lindgren are the true faces of the playoffs. What you have to play through to be successful. And I think Lindgren has been fantastic. You think of all the times he's gone back to the dressing room at one point or another during these playoffs, and you said, that's the end. He's not coming back. But he's like a cyborg now, and they put a new metal piece into his body. And he comes back, and he plays great. You know, one of the stories I actually heard about him was when the – like, first of all, the Rangers really love him as a player, and why not? He's a heck of a player in addition to being a guy who's clearly very inspirational. But, you know, one of the things they were kind of talking about when they were signing him to a deal was just, you know, how long they thought he could hold up because of what he puts his body through. And some people are wired a certain way and you're never going to change it. And Ryan Lindgren is one of those guys. And there's no question that entire organization, the entire fan base, has great respect for him because of the way he's played. But I would tell you this, I bet he'd trade the goal for a W.
Yeah, I bet he would too. He's definitely one of those team first guys. Okay, to the game last night, and you know, when stars go down, you expect other players to kind of pick up in their absence. And the guy that we can point to, especially in this series, that has really stepped up is Andre Palat. He scores the game winner again last night. He extends his team record of game-winning goals in the playoffs. And I was looking up his numbers the last 3 years in the playoffs, and he has 24 goals and 21 assists in 64 playoff games the last 3 years. He's only had that kind of scoring pace twice in his career. And he's an unrestricted free agent. Is this going to be a guy that, you know, not to take away from what he did last night, but is this going to be a guy that Tampa's going to be able to afford to keep around? Because he's certainly an important piece to their puzzle.
Well, it's going to be hard, Matt, but I think that the thing to realize here is they're going to lose players. There's no question about that. But the other thing you have to look at is there's been times where, you know, for example, guys like Alex Killorn, I thought they were going to be gone for sure, and they found a way to keep him. So one of the things I've learned over the years about the Lightning is, you know, a lot of guys do what they can to stay there. That's number one. You know, you can't always do that. Sometimes there's money you can't leave on the table or the salary cap gets you. But the premise I always start with is these players are always going to try to work, and the team is always going to try to work to keep people who are valuable. So, like, if they've shown me anything, it's that if they want to keep Palat, and no question by now they've already talked numbers, so they kind of know where everybody stands here. If they think that he's valuable enough and they have to do some other things to keep him, they'll do it. You know, I just think the question becomes, and this is, you know, what's going to happen is everybody is seeing what he's doing, and the dollar only goes up. And it's going to come down to a point where Tampa's going to say to him, like, you know, this is what we can do. Is that good enough? And it's up to Palat to decide yes or no. And like I said, I've learned over the years never to assume. You take a look at everybody there could have signed for bigger deals than they got. And it's just going to come down to where Palat is comfortable with and what he's willing to do less to stay there. But until it's over, I never say it's over.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a little bit of a bump from that $5.3 million because his value is clearly, yes, he's a good player in the regular season, but for a team that maybe thinks they're close, that's the guy that, you know, you might be looking to add. Just as a quick aside.
BX is here with me. We're going golfing today. He's just trashing my analysis here.
You're golfing again after yesterday's performance? Are you crazy?
Yeah. Actually, no. I played not bad yesterday. Could have been better. I had three holes that ruined my score, but not bad. Not bad.
And those were Jeff's fault, right?
Yes, there's no question about that. And whatever goes wrong today is your fault.
What else is new? Buddy, I'm married and have a pregnant wife. I mean, it's I'm not really too worried about that. Thank you. Okay, so as a quick aside, that first period, I listen, and this is a testament to our colleague.
It was dreary. Yeah. It was dreary.
Well, and this is a testament to our colleague, Harnarayan Singh, who did an excellent job in making that period seem like it was more exciting than it was, because I'm watching it and I'm getting this sense, like, especially the inflection in his voice, and obviously he does a great job. And I'm watching this, and as I'm looking back and watching you guys in the intermission, I'm like, these guys are right. That period really wasn't all that exciting. So a great job by Harnarayan Singh to keep us all engaged in that first period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
because I know we were all looking at each other, Matt, and we were saying Ron Kelly and Kevin and myself, and we're thinking to ourselves, what are we going to talk about here? Like, you don't get a lot of those periods in the playoffs, but periodically you get one or two. And that first period, like, the game got a lot better in the second and the third, but that first period was kind of dreary and not a lot was going on.
Yeah, and we've just been so blessed with an incredible playoff that when you get those periods that don't have a lot of action, we're kind of taken aback by it. The move by John Cooper to put Hagel, Cirelli, and Killorn together has really paid off. I thought they were excellent again last night. Hagel gets rewarded with the empty netter, but they have just been able to hem the Rangers in their own zone. And when they're on the ice, it doesn't feel like the Rangers are getting much in terms of offense. And it's not because that line is doing such a great job in their own zone, and they do that, but it feels like the puck is always in the Rangers' end when that line is on the ice. They're relentless on the forecheck.
Well, they're great players, and you're right, they're relentless on the forecheck. I thought the interesting thing last night too, Matt, and Kevin was actually the one, it's painful for me to give him a compliment, but he was the one who pointed out that even though they were on, Cooper was getting the matchup he generally wanted. He was able to say, you know what, even though we don't have last, I can get these guys on the ice against the people I want. And, you know, Gallant doesn't always worry about stuff like that. He's more of a feel kind of guy, and he also doesn't necessarily worry about, you know, he feels if you're the best players, you're going to have to beat a lot of the other people's best players. So he doesn't seem to worry about it as much. But I did think last night Cooper did a really good job of making sure he had that line out there when he wanted it.
Yeah, listen, we know that John Cooper is a really smart coach. Like, that goes without saying. And at this point, he's making all the right decisions after being down 2-0. And, you know, the other guy that, I mean, it's really easy to wax poetic about him, but Nikita Kucherov, some of the plays he was making last night, like two plays in particular. One, it was a one-touch pass to Corey Perry in the slot on the power play, and Shesterkin made a great save. But he's got to be one of the best one-touch players that I've seen maybe in a long time. He's certainly one of the best in the league, but that he's got to be in that conversation of best one-touch passers ever.
I agree with you. First of all, so far you're better for me than Jeff is. I hit my we're just on the first tee. I just hit my first shot. It was a good start drive. You're better luck for me than Merrick was, so you can stay. I am with you on Kucherov. I think he's just one of the best and smartest players in the league. I find it hilarious to watch Kucherov. I really do. He's a funny guy. He always looks like he's mad at the world. He always looks like he's angry at something. And there are games I look at him and I'm like, something's wrong with this guy tonight. Like, he's not there, or he's not at the level you expect or hope him to be. But when he shows up to play, and in the playoffs, he generally shows up to play, he's unbelievable. And the thing I like the most about him is apparently he's really demanding about himself.
Yeah, Elliot, we're gonna have to call it. We'll call you on the cell. The connection's getting a little bad on the Opal. But, you know, just kind of echoing what Elliot was saying there about Kucherov, the guy that I constantly go back to when I think of Nikita Kucherov is Alexei Kovalev. And yes, they're both Russian players. I get the comparison, but it's more like Alexei Kovalev on steroids when it comes to Nikita Kucherov, because he's shown that when he's on, he's one of the best players in the league. Alexei Kovalev was sort of like that, but we got that a little bit, you know, fewer and far between than we do with Nikita Kucherov. Fried, sorry, you just cut out there. I was just saying Nikita Kucherov, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of Alexei Kovalev in that, you know, when he's not engaged, it doesn't look great. But when he's engaged, he's really hard to stop. Now, Kucherov is the better player, but that's always who I kind of hearken back to when I think of Kucherov in that style.
I think they're very different players. I think, like, Kucherov, one of the reasons I really like watching him is I think he's got a real edge to him. He's got that don't cross me look with him. He's like the kind of guy where if, you know, you... I think he's got more of a cat temper than Kovalev did. Kovalev was a true artist. It was like him versus the game. He liked those goals where he could skate through everybody and score. Kucherov, to me, is more of a distributor. He's meaner. And I think he's a more consistent player than Kovalev was. But I understand what you're talking about. I can tell you hate Russians too, just by the way that you're comparing them all to each other.
Oh, don't put me in that boat, Elliot. Elliot Friedman joining Matt Marchese here on the Jeff Merrick Show. I will give you some props here. I didn't like the Keandre Miller penalty either. I know that people on the panel were saying, well, that's a penalty. I hated that call. And that was coming from somebody that bet on Tampa on the money line last night.
I just don't think that that's a penalty. Like, I understand Kelly's line, and Merrick said it on the podcast today, that, you know, he thinks it's become a penalty now because they got him on the hands. I don't know. I guess so. To me, it was more like he got the stick and it rode up a bit. I really hope this is poison ivy I'm walking through. and to me, that was a good defensive play. But I'm not the referee, right? And it wasn't like people overwhelmingly agreed with me. I got a few who did, but there was definitely a situation where there were people who didn't agree, some who did. I think that's a good defensive play. I would hate to see that play generally come out of the sport.
Yeah, I agree. And me agreeing with you should be the only thing that matters, but I digress.
You have the most important opinion.
Exactly. Okay, on the Rangers side here, where do they go from here? They played well last night. They played good enough to win, and they lose at home, you know, and it just feels like Tampa Bay has taken over this series. Now, can the Rangers go into Tampa and win? Absolutely. Uh-oh. Where'd you shank that one to?
Yes. Oh, that was not a good shot.
So where does New York go from here? They're banged up. They didn't look slow last night, but it seems like they put everything they can out there and it still wasn't good enough. It is, you know, are we ready to just say, hey, Tampa Bay's off to their third straight Stanley Cup here? Or is there a little bit more to give for the Rangers in Tampa Bay tomorrow?
I never bet against Tampa. I really like them. They've earned their respect. I joked last night that the Rangers got Tampa. It was a 1-1 game in the third period, and we knew Tampa was going to find a way to win. And I just thought that that's exactly what happened. But I liked the way the Rangers played. I didn't think they were out of it by any means. I thought they were right there. They just got beaten by an incredibly experienced team. And I don't think the Rangers are done. I think, you know, look, the odds are clearly with Tampa. I think the smart money is on Tampa. But I didn't see a Ranger team last night that was beaten. I think there's a big difference between you're beaten and you got beat. And last night, I think they got beat, but I thought they gave a great effort. I thought they were competitive, and I don't think they're out of the series by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I'm ready to go there as well. Just they're too good of a team to not have one more in them. Okay, switching gears here a little bit. This is just my own kind of musing because we were talking about Ottawa yesterday. They've got some decisions to make on, you know, Josh Norris is one, and they, you know, they at the draft, maybe they make a couple of moves to kind of bolster their NHL roster instead of accumulating assets. But how much of what they do this summer depends on what the plan is for ownership?
Well, I think a lot. Look, I think at some point in time, we're going to get some ownership clarity. Is it staying in the family or is it going elsewhere? I don't necessarily think it's going to be a quick process. And it's very obvious they're doing whatever they can to keep things quiet and out of the spotlight. You know, they have a plan. I do believe that. I don't think that anything that happened this year has kind of changed their plan yet. But I do think everybody is curious to see what is going to be the future in terms of ownership, in terms of the downtown arena. I do think the number one priority is to get Norris signed. I think the number two priority is to see if they can find help. I think it's going to be tough for us to really figure out the full direction of the franchise until we have clarity on where they're going here.
And the other team that kind of piqued my interest was the I'm sorry if there's a lot of noise going on. People are doing work in my house. Is the Buffalo Sabres. The
Pagulas. What's going on back there? Do you have a dog?
No, that's not the dog. People are doing – my air conditioning is getting moved. It just happened to be during the show. So that's
fun. What this is today, we've got the home renovations versus the golf round.
I'm sure yours is more interesting.
I feel like I'm back on college radio.
who's cooking stuff in the dorm room microwave? Okay, so the Buffalo Sabres is another one of intrigue because there's been rumors in the past of the Sabres maybe being up for sale, and now those rumblings have gotten a little bit louder because of the new stadium that the Buffalo Bills are getting and the money that the Pagulas are going to have to fork over to get that done. Not that they're picking up the whole tab, but it's a significant amount of money. Is there any chance that the Pagulas are, I mean, there's always a chance, but do you think that that is more or less likely to happen in the next year or so?
Well, I've heard the same rumors as everyone else, Matt. I think, you know, someone said to me that they didn't think there would be anything happening until things got sorted out with the Sabres Stadium, the Bills Stadium, because they just didn't think politically it made a lot of sense for they didn't think that everybody would look at it well politically if they were trying to build a new stadium for the Bills and try to sell the Sabres. So what people would say to me was, if there is anything here, and it was always if, they don't think anything's going to happen until the whole Bills situation is cleared up. I've heard rumors that they don't want to sell the full team, like just a part of it. But again, it's always been denied. So I guess we wait to see kind of how things unfold here.
One more thing before we let you go hit the ball into the forest again. Leafs parting
a really
ways.
Nice chip. I'm about to putt.
You want to putt while I ask the question then? I'll try and keep
yet.
It as quiet as possible. Leafs part ways with goaltending coach Steve Briere. Is this a surprise to you? And B, do you think that there is a different evaluation process at the position for that organization going forward?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, like I don't think that everything that happened here was a fault of Briere. I think they had a lot of different goalies here, a lot of different personalities. And I think that, I don't think that this is a situation where you look at it and say it's Steve Briere's fault that this didn't work. I think that one of the biggest questions that I was talking about with someone this morning is, how come the Maple Leafs can't develop a homegrown goaltender? And that's the biggest question that I think we're all kind of asking here. Like, when was the last time the Leafs developed their own goalie? It was Felix Podvig. So I think we're all sitting here and kind of wondering, that's the biggest question that we all should be asking here. So when the Maple Leafs are doing this deep dive into, you know, who they are and, I just made the big putt.
Elliot
I should stay on the radio with you
green.
For another 3 hours.
Seriously.
So I think that that's the big question. When they talk about going through the process and what they're doing, I guarantee you the number one question they're asking is, why has it been since Felix Podvent for them to develop a stud goaltender on their own? I guarantee to you that's what they're going through.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while. Well, I would love to keep you on for 3 hours, but you've got better things to do. I'm sure you made a great putt there. I believe you based on the reaction around you. So hit them straight and knock them in the hole, Freege.
All right, Marchese. Best luck to you and your family, okay? Take care, bud.
Thanks, buddy. There he goes. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts.